tune in to another special edition of the Murder Master Music Show. We're well up over 500 episodes deep, 6 years into this. And we got another classic show tonight. We got a guy who, wrote a book called Murder Rap. And from that book, it spawned so many phenomenal things, including last year's documentary with Mike Dorsey, who's been on the show. And of course, USA Network's Unsolved, which is already a hit right now. I'm going to bring out my co-hosts, and we're going to bring on Greg. I'm going to bring on Mac J and Pittsburgh Pat. Fellas, tonight's
what's up with it?
Very special show tonight. Greg really needs no introduction. We've had him on the show before. But a lot's happened since we had him on the show. Matter of fact,
shook up the world, man.
Not too long after we had him on the show, I'm not going to name the show that Puffy was on because they're not good at naming things, especially when they use our audio. But Puffy was on the show, and this documentary and book essentially raised the questions of Puffy's involvement in Tupac's homicide and Biggie's homicide. And Puffy had some choice words about the documentary, and he quickly wanted to change the subject. So it striked a lot of nerves, but it's raised a lot of questions. And a lot of people are interested in it. USA has got this show Unsolved. Josh Duhamel's playing the role of Greg Kading. He's a big actor. Let's bring on Greg and find out how crazy this has all been since last time we've talked to him. Greg, how you doing, Greg?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much, man. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise, man. Likewise. You have been, having a lot of success. With success, obviously, I'm sure comes a lot of obstacles, a lot of people coming at you and whatnot, trying to test your evidence that you have pertaining to the homicides of Tupac and Biggie. How do you get through that, Greg, when there's people out there that are going to always try to challenge what they would call is your theory about the Biggie and Pac homicides?
Yeah, we welcome all the questions and we welcome all the challenges with open arms. I mean, that's our whole goal, is to show people what we discovered during the investigation and introduce them to facts as opposed to speculation and innuendo. And, as I've said over and over, I'm not promoting a theory, I'm promoting knowledge. And if people take the time and use a little common sense, you'll see that the information in these cases is pretty clear, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what happened in these murders. It's just so many people don't know all the facts, and so they make their decisions or their conclusions based on very limited information. And a lot of that information over the years has been erroneous. So, we're just here to educate people. They can decide for themselves what they want to believe, but we're just promoting the truth, man.
Back to what I was just saying, too, when Puffy was asked about that, his reaction, like I was saying, conspiracies, like I'm not going to entertain conspiracy theories or something like that. How did that make you feel when you heard that? Did you hear that interview?
Yeah, I did. And, to be honest, I get it. What other option does he have? Is a guy like him really going to say, all right, truth be told, yeah, I had a hand in all this. Yeah, truth be told, I participated in some things that led to these consequences. He can't. He's got to protect his image. He's got to protect his money. And so I get it. But that just also goes to the character of Puffy Combs. Let's go all the way back to 1997 after Biggie was killed. Was he leading the charge to solve that? Was he putting up $100,000 rewards? Was he telling everybody to cooperate? No, we got dead silence. And so that kind of helps to illustrate, I think, you know, from the beginning till today, you know, what his – he's in a very precarious situation, and he always has been. But he's done well kind of insulating himself with lawyers and, you know, just hoping that this whole thing goes away. I get his position, but I don't respect his character.
Yeah, I don't
agree with you a billion percent.
His actions could have prevented a lot of things if he had done something different. For those that are not familiar with Murder Rap or with the book or with Unsolved, which we're going to get into, what would you say his actions were that directly, you know, played a part in ultimately the lives we lost to Biggie and Tupac?
Well, him and, you know, we all know it's irrefutable fact that him and Suge were at odds, and that his bodyguard, or at least a member of his entourage, was responsible for killing Suge Knight's bodyguard in Atlanta. And then you've had, you know, the Quad incident, and then the Source Awards, and you just had all of this conflict and drama, and people were being shot, and guns were being pulled, and, you know, these two guys were just unable to manage, both him and Suge, unable to manage this escalating conflict that ultimately led to Pac and Biggie's death. So, you know, they were young guys at the time, and they could have done things differently in order to try to find out how to create, you know, create an environment where people didn't need to get shot. But it spiraled out of control, and these guys failed to control it.
Now, Greg, I want to ask you about Keefe D. I actually have a couple questions about Keefe D. Now, in the documentary, you first approached him because of the Biggie murder.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, he told you about the Tupac thing. So what did he say about the Tupac shooting that made you believe what he was saying? Like, were you skeptical of him at first? And then what was the thing that he said that made it believable for you?
Good question. So, of course, we're always skeptical. But there was also a very clear understanding that we knew he was in Vegas. We knew he was the uncle of Orlando Anderson. We knew Orlando Anderson was the primary suspect in Tupac's shooting. He was the guy who had the immediate motive to shoot Tupac. And then we knew he was at the Biggie murder. He knew that he was running with the Southside Crips, and the Southside Crips were, you know, doing some kind of quasi-security work for Bad Boy. So we knew he had all these really interesting connections to everything. And so we knew that, again, that he was the most likely guy to be able to shed some light on things. So when he tells us that his nephew is the one who shot and killed Tupac, you know, it just made absolute sense in the world of how gangs operate. But then when he includes his affiliation with Puffy and the conversations they had, we started to get a little bit more skeptical until we understand clearer and be able to corroborate the stuff he was telling us. And then he was able to describe things at the crime scene where Tupac was actually shot in that immediate situation that he could not have known unless he was there. And so all of that stuff led itself to his credibility in that interview.
Mm. Yeah, one of the things that – well, there was two things for me that really hit me and made me, like, believe him. And that was the other car that was in front of them at first. And, you know what I mean, like, the girls. And like, his story kind of matched theirs. There was a little bit of a misunderstanding there with the shots fired and all that. But I guess in the heat of the moment, that could be misconstrued. But the thing that really stuck to me was when you guys asked him if Biggie had anything to do with it. And to me, him saying no made me believe that story just because it sounds better to say Biggie would have known about it and Biggie had something to do with it. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of adds to the whole theme of the hip-hop world that this was a rap-related beef. Like, it would have made sense to make that part up. But he said, no, Biggie had nothing to do with it. And that made me think, like, this guy's really telling the truth, because that would be an easy thing to lie about. You know what I mean? It would be, you know, more exciting to lie about that. So those two things made me really think that he was telling the truth.
Yeah, and along that line of logic, because I agree with you completely, you know, he could have just simply said, yeah, my nephew did it. He shot him because they jumped him, and he was just retaliating, and left it at that. But why add the whole, you know, Puffy component if that's not true? It doesn't help him. It doesn't benefit him or make things easier for him, because he's in a situation when he's providing this information that if we disprove any aspect of it, if there's anything about it that he lies about, all the bets are off the table. So it only benefits him to tell the truth.
This evidence that you've uncovered, Greg, and Keith D and all this stuff, why do you think there has been no charges brought up against, you know, people like Puffy? And I know a lot of the other players are dead, but why do you think there's not some type of investigation against Puffy?
Well, there always was, and in law enforcement, you know, we believe QPD's confession, and we accept it as being the valid explanation of what took place. But if you look at how you would go about prosecuting this, you've got to get a district attorney, most likely out of, you know, Las Vegas, to say, all right, I'm going to put allegations, solicitation for murder allegations against one of the most richest and influential hip-hop moguls in the world, and my star witness is a confessed gang member, confessed, you know, murderer, a confessed drug dealer, a convicted drug dealer, and you really are going to have trouble convincing a jury based on the testimony of, you know, a guy who's lied in the past about it, a guy who's been to prison for drugs. They got, you know, so it's not practical under those circumstances to think you're going to win a case like that. And when you don't have a good chance at winning, you don't prosecute.
They'd rather not get in a legal battle with a guy that's almost a billionaire. Wow. That is crazy, though, still. I mean, you know, with all that. Well, then again, look at our president. Look at all the evidence they got against him, and they're not doing shit about it. But, yeah, that would make sense. Now, what about this phenomenal show, Unsolved, and the success it's had? I imagine that's got to make you happy knowing that, you know, this all stems from your book. You got Josh Duhamel playing you. How does that make you feel, Greg? And tell us a little bit about the show Unsolved.
Yeah, so the show is the brainchild of its creator, a guy named Kyle Long, and he's always been fascinated with the murder cases. And you know, he's a you know, by profession, he's a television guy and a writer. And he just approached me one day and said, "I'm fascinated with the story. I'm fascinated with your book, and you know, would you like to collaborate and see if we can get this story told in a brand new way?" And of course, I was all in. I thought it was a fantastic idea. And one thing led to another, and we just kept getting more and more support for it. The next thing I know, we're in production and they're hiring actors, and find out that, you know, Josh is going to portray my character in the series. And I was just like, are you kidding me? It was surreal. I mean, it's really kind of hard to believe. But I got to be involved in the day-to-day production and get to know him personally. And he was very, very interested in trying to get all the nuances of the investigation and of my personal life. He cared about getting it right. And so did all the other actors that are portraying all the other characters, like the prior detective, Russell Poole, who, you know, came up with a different theory back in the 90s. And so everybody was fully committed. And ironically, a lot of the people that were involved in the production of this show had their own personal stories and interactions with Tupac and Biggie. For instance, my partner, Darren Dupree, is portrayed by Bokeem Woodbine, and Bokeem was friends with Tupac, and they hung out and got high and had their own little wonderful relationship. And, you know, that was just one of many people that worked on our show that had their own personal passion for this because of their relationship with Biggie or Tupac.
No. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Now, Greg, I've seen you since the documentary last year. I've seen you appear on several other documentaries, and I think some of them are a little crazy because they pretty much just recap what you did. And there's a lot of people out there that throw a Tupac story in there, I think, just to get some press and stuff. But one thing that I liked about what you did and why I actually your theory is, to me, is the most believable, especially on the Tupac side. The thing that I respected about you was who you said it about Puffy. You the fingers are pointing at Puffy. A lot of people would have been afraid to take that angle. But the thing that I liked about you personally was, like I said, I talked to you on Twitter right after the documentary aired, and you answered all my questions. I saw you answering everybody's questions. So I liked your confidence that you really think you solved this case. And I'm even half-hearted to call it a theory because I think that I think you kind of proved it. Like, I mean, I think that you have enough for there to be a conviction. So the question I want to ask you is, if you were to bet money, is this ever going to go to court or no?
No, I can say with absolute conviction that this will never go to court. It's insofar as Puffy's concerned. Now, Keefe D., that's a variable. I would have said a year ago, I'd have said absolutely not. Keefe D is not ever going to be exposed to prosecution. But now that he's come out and publicly confessed, that confession that he's made isn't protected the way it was when we had our conversation with him, where he had immunity protection. Now he's come out and publicly, essentially admitted to his involvement in a conspiracy. And that can be used against him. And so there's a big question is, why isn't Las Vegas, at the very least, arresting him and then putting it on the shoulders of the district attorney's office to prosecute him? They should, at the very least, based on the evidence that there is, they should clear this case and publicly acknowledge that this is what happened so that justice can at least be served in the sense of recognizing and closing the case. That's my opinion about it all. But Puffy's never going to get prosecuted, and Keefe D and Puffy are the last men standing in the conspiracy to commit, in the conspiracy to murder Tupac. Everybody else is dead.
I want to ask you this. For our listeners, you just said everybody else is dead. For the ones that haven't really been following everything that you put together, how crazy did things get after Tupac's murder, and approximately how many people were killed right after Tupac?
Well, in the days after Tupac got shot, there was a little gang war erupted in Compton, and the Bloods against the Crips. And, like I mentioned earlier when I said that Keefe D was telling us about details that proved that he was actually there and in the car. He had said, listen, when we pulled up alongside the BMW, I looked directly in Suge's eyes. I looked across the car. Me and Suge have known each other since we were kids. We played football together, went to school together. I ended up being a Crip. He ended up, so, you've got him. Well, now we talk to Mob James. And Mob James is like, hey, I'm at the club. And I get a call immediately after from one of the guys in the entourage, one of the other mob Pyrus. He says, hey man, they just shot Tupac. It's the Southside Crips. This shit's on. Let's wait for Suge to find out what he wants to do about it. And of course, the next day they all meet in Compton. There's a green light on the Southside Crips and shootings start to take place. Lots of shootings. A few people get hit. A couple people die. And then of course the next big casualty is Iggy.
Yeah. I always believe they pulled up on side of me and pop them too. I always believe that shit. the KVD story, I always believe it. I don't know if all the details are exactly right as how he was saying it, but it all makes the perfect sense, you know what I'm saying, at least to me.
It really does. It's the simple truth is almost always the real truth.
Yeah, and you said it in the documentary, and it was something that I've been thinking, like, since it happened, is it's the most obvious thing in the world. Just look at the events that led up to it. Like, it just, nothing makes more sense than that story. And the one thing that you said that I didn't even catch the first time was there was an altercation prior to the fight that night in Vegas, and Shug said that he can't be touched, and the Crips were like, you can be touched. And then there was the fight in the lobby after the fight. I didn't know about the first altercation.
Yeah, it happened in the arena, and there's already, you know, tension there, and they're all eye-fucking each other, and, you know, Shug says, we can't be touched, and those guys proved otherwise.
Yeah. No, I was watching what was it called? There's so many of these documentaries now. I think it's the Who Killed Tupac one that was on A&E, I think. And Keefe D was on it, and he was, you know, like, they asked him who pulled the trigger and everything, and it seemed like he didn't want to talk. He was saying that he wanted to go by the street code and not snitch, but I mean, I think it's kind of too late for that. But why do you think all of a sudden that he doesn't really want to say as much as he did to begin with?
Yeah, okay. So good question, and I think that's important to clarify that. So, you know, because he's recently came out on Death Row Chronicles and basically admits, yeah, I handed a gun to the backseat, but, you know, I'm not sure which of the two guys in the backseat pulled the trigger. After we interviewed him, and he admitted that his nephew had grabbed the gun and shot Tupac. I wrote, you know, of course, I write murder rap, and I put all that out there, and he starts getting all kinds of heat from his neighborhood. Oh, you fucking rat. How do you put this, you know, your nephew is dead, and you're throwing him under the bus like this. And it got so bad that I think his sister had some type of, you know, a seizure. You know, this is Orlando Anderson's mom and Keefe D's sister. She was so stressed out by it. So it impacted him socially with his crew. It impacted him with his family. And so once he decided to go absolutely public with it, he just said, okay, I'm going to tell the story, but I'm not going to put it on. I'm not going to, you know, outright snitch like I did when I was first interviewed, because he just got so much heat from his neighborhood and from his family. So now he's kind of modifying it a little bit, telling the same story essentially, but just not putting the finger directly on his nephew. He's saying it might have been my nephew, but it also could have been the other guy in the back seat, DeAndre.
Now, how aware was he that all this was going to be made public, like after you interviewed him? Was he notified that you were writing the book and then going to put the documentary out? Like, how aware of everything was he?
Yeah, so when he confesses to us, he thinks that confession is just going to be used it within the law enforcement investigation, you know, and none of us were thinking in terms of making a book or publicizing it. It wasn't until, you know, a couple of years later when I decided that we needed to publish the findings so that the public could know. So he would have had no idea, but out of respect and, you know, my goal is not to see anybody get hurt as a result of any of this. So right before I published the book, I went to his house, I sat down with him, and I said, here's the deal, Puffy. I know this is going to hurt. I'm sorry. here's the deal, Keefe. I know. Yeah. Here's the deal, Keefe. I'm writing a book. I'm putting it all out there. I'm going to put you on Front Street, and this is just the way it is. Truth be told, you got away with murder, so you're just going to have to deal with this. And he's like, bring it. We'll do what you got to do. I'm a gangster. I'll handle my own business. Fuck it. And that was his attitude about it. And then the documentary didn't come out until a couple of years after that. And, of course, now he's appearing in his own documentaries with Death Row Chronicles on BET, where he's essentially admitting to the whole story that I put out back in 2011.
And
now, what about Puffy? Was he aware that this book was coming? Like, was he aware of all this before anything was released?
Right at about the time that I published the book, the LA Weekly magazine was going to did an article about the new book that was coming out with these new claims, and they contacted, Puffy's camp, whoever it would have been from his PR department or his lawyers or whatever, and said, hey, you know, these are the allegations that are going to appear in this article. Do you have a comment? And Puffy's comment was, hey, I don't, whatever it was, it's like it's pure fiction, blah, blah, blah. We have nothing else to say. So he was aware of it back at the time, but his response was that it was all nonsense and fiction.
Just like what he said radio show, which I'm not going to mention.
You said it earlier, Greg. I just think that his silence over the past 20 years speaks louder than any words could. He always claimed that he loved Biggie, that was his brother, and all that. He's very quiet about it, and I mean, he never talks about it, he never speaks about it, and to me, man, I mean, if that happened to me, I would be leading the charge, especially if I had the power, the puff that he had. I would have been trying to get some answers, and just his silence
would
always
clear my name. If I'm accused of something, not to cut you off, Pat, but if I'm accused of something, just like with the African Bambaataa stuff, if I'm accused of something so horrific, I'm going to want to clear my name. I'm going to want to go to court and clear my name. I'm going to want to see you face to face and challenge you and do anything I can to prove my innocence. When you don't see that from somebody, it speaks volumes, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think he always knew that, if we start digging into Biggie's murder and we figure out what happened, it's going to lead right back to Vegas. And then if we get to Vegas and we figure out what happened there, it's going to lead to him. So I think he was always smart enough to know that,
stay away from it, yeah.
Stay away from it.
That's insane, definitely, man. That sounds. On the Biggie side of things. Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead. I've been asking.
No. I was actually gonna go with how you led up to Biggie getting shot in L.A. Would you say that is a direct retaliation towards Puffy and them? Would you say? I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just direct retaliation for Tupac's murder in Las Vegas and the shooting of Suge in Las Vegas. You know, unfortunately, shortly after Pac's shooting in Vegas, rumors started to spread, and ultimately there was even an LA Times article written about it saying that Biggie had been in Vegas, that Biggie had hired the Crips, that Biggie had provided the gun. And so all this bad information began to circulate and was accepted as truth. And so when Suge decides that he's going to retaliate, and based partially on those bad rumors, he targets Biggie. And, Biggie's kind of Biggie could have obviously done more to create a relationship with Pac and to clear the air after some of the things that had happened between them, but I certainly don't think Biggie had any kind of hand or knowledge of what was going to take place in Las Vegas. And so when he gets shot in L.A., he's more of a casualty of war than he is, a culpable party.
I always felt that way, too. I don't think that Biggie ever really liked the whole thing, the whole pro- problem with Tupac. Yeah, I don't think he liked any of it, and that's why, like, he didn't really make any records. He said, you know, he just threw a couple jabs on two songs. But I think that once Tupac was dead, I think Biggie just wanted that chapter to be over and to move on, and I just think it was too soon. Like, you know what I mean? I think that was just bad judgment. He shouldn't have went out there that soon. It was 6 months later. You know what I mean? I just...
Do you think
I think
Puffy
he was too eager to put that behind
him. His connection with the Crips, do you think Puffy was relying on that, or do you think they just made a real bad error in judgment? Because I think it was way too soon to go out there.
Yeah, I think that they had a false sense of security because Pac was dead. Death Row was kind of, you know, trying to figure out if it was going to stay above water. Suge was in jail facing serious, you know, serious years. And I think that Puffy always wanted to kind of have a West Coast, West Coast
presence out there.
Presence, yeah. And came out here thinking that everything was going to be okay and didn't realize that they could be touched also. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I agree, man. I agree. And like I said, man, I really do appreciate you. I appreciate you doing this in the first place, but like your willingness to defend what you've come up with. I respect you a lot for that, man, because that's not easy, like to be so public about somebody like Puff Daddy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's a very, popular guy. He's a powerful guy. I think that you deserve a little more respect than a lot of people give you, man, because, I'm sure that this topic isn't easy. You know what I mean? And to be, to put that out there and then stand behind it, and you're always willing to talk about it and answer questions, man. So I salute you for that because,
especially
in the hip hop world,
thank
man.
You.
Like the hip hop world, it's crazy. You know what I mean? So I'm sure that you've gotten some backlash ever since this became public.
What I think happened to a large degree, and because the people that are typically associated with the hip hop world or the urban culture or the African American culture, they have their own experiences in life, and a lot of their experiences with law enforcement has not been great, and so they have a preconceived notion that, cops aren't trustworthy and that cops are going to lie to defend each other. And I get all that. I worked in South Central Los Angeles my whole career, so I get that perception. And so that's my biggest challenge, is to try to get people to understand that, me and the people that I deal with, we just want the truth to be out there, man. If it's cops that were involved, then fuck them. Let's burn them. We are fine with that. We put David Mack in jail for as long as we could. We put Rafael and Perez in jail. We put cops in jail. And we don't have a problem doing it because they make us all look bad. And so had cops been involved in this, which I should have prefaced my statement with the idea that people assume that I'm just throwing this other theory out there in order to protect some LAPD cops that were involved. And I want to convince people that had cops been involved, we'd have been happy to expose them and prosecute them and do all that. But the fact of the matter is there wasn't any cops involved. Was there cops moonlighting at Death Row? Absolutely. Were they compromised ethically? Absolutely. Were they involved in the murder? Absolutely not. But I get that there's a subculture of people out there who have their own experiences in life with law enforcement that are just not going to trust the cops. And so if a cop's telling you this is what happened, you're more inclined to say, nah, you're just lying to cover, you know. So that's the challenge. That's the hard part.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, man. And the two people that were murdered, like, they were the two biggest superstars in hip-hop, arguably in hip-hop history. And there's a lot of emotion behind it. And I think a lot of fans have it in their head, like their theory on it, and they just believe what they want. And, like, they already have their mind made up about what they believe happened. And, you know, I love both Tupac and Biggie. So when they died, like, that shit crushed me. And for years and years, I never thought anybody gave a fuck. Like, outside of hip-hop, I was just like, man, nobody gives a fuck about it. And then when Murder Rap came out, like, I was ecstatic because I was like, wow, like, that's what we always thought happened. Like, a lot of us, I don't want to say everybody, but what you were saying is what a lot of people were thinking. Because for 20 years, I'm sitting there thinking, like, why isn't Puff Daddy ever talking about any of this? You know what I mean? And then there's just so many people that were associated with Puff Daddy that don't even say anything about it. And it's like, that's just too odd to me that he's not ever saying anything about it. It was just, you know. And then the Tupac thing, I mean, he has that the Elvis factor to him. Like, there's still a percentage of people that don't think that he's dead. You know what I mean? So there was always so many different things about that. So, you know, I really appreciate you, you know, putting all this information out there and standing by it and answering people's questions and, you know, taking the backlash for it and dealing with some passionate hip-hop fans, because I know how irrational they can be at times. Like, we'll probably get some backlash just for interviewing you again. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm sure there'll be people on the YouTube comments. Like, why you interviewing that cop, motherfucker? You know what I mean? Like, that's
right.
What happens. Like,
yeah,
oh, man,
yeah.
They love
it. But you know what, man? That's the beautiful thing about this show. It's a platform for virtually anybody. And, man, we're honored to have you on again, and we definitely would love to have you on in the future. I wanted to ask you before you go, though, a few more things about Unsolved and as well as Murder Rap. With the success of the Murder Rap documentary, is there going to be a part two, like a follow-up of what's been going on since, another book maybe?
I kind of doubt it. I think that we would need a lot of new information in order to have enough content to, you know, put another documentary together. I think if we did a documentary, it would be very repetitive, and, you know, we might add a few new things, but I don't know that it would be that entertaining. We got everything out there. Things continue to be exposed, like, slowly and surely. You're seeing more people with their own little stories that kind of support the evidence that we have, and I think you know, I just don't know that there's enough out there because the basis of the story's already been told. That's just what I think. But it's interesting.
Are you guys going for season two? Are you guys getting picked up for another season?
That decision hasn't been made yet. From what I understand, that'll be based on the ratings that we get over the first, say, three or four episodes of Unsolved. Right now, the ratings are fantastic. So if we can keep carrying that momentum, there will be a season two. But this will be much like the True Detective anthology series, where season two will deal with a completely different case, you know, a completely different story. And what that story is, I have no idea at this point.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah, congratulations on all that success. And I want to ask you this, though, too. Of course, there's other things out there. What are your thoughts on the, I forget the name of it. It's a movie where Johnny Depp's playing Pool. Russell Poole. What are your thoughts on that movie? And do you know anything about it?
Well, you know, it was big news, you know, a year and a half ago. And, of course, a big name like Johnny Depp attached to it. And I love Johnny Depp as an actor. Seems like his personal life's in a little bit of turmoil. But as an actor, I thought he's great. And I was really interested in seeing how he would portray Russell Poole and how they would tell the story. It became pretty clear right away that they were going to take a lot of creative license with the story, though. You know, they were introducing major characters that didn't even actually exist. And so they were fictionalizing a lot of it, and that concerned me. But then, after they began production, everything about that whole project just dissipated into thin air. I don't even think it's ever going to see the light of day from the lack of any promotion for it, the lack of any information from people in Hollywood about it. Nobody's talking about it. I think that something went terribly wrong, and they decided to scrap it. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's a mystery right there, all in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, we do know that Unsolved is on, and it's doing real good so far. A shout out to Mike. I know Mike's part of the film as well. Are you and him going to work together on anything again in the future, do you think? You guys seem to make a good team.
Yeah, we really do. I love working with Mike. He's one of the hardest working people that I've ever known. And he's really smart, he's very creative, and he's got a lot of ambition. So I expect Mike's going to go very far, and I would love to work with him on anything. He just finished shooting his first short film. And so he's been kind of busy with that, and he's got a couple other projects in the burner. But I think the people that were involved in Unsolved, the executive producers, were so impressed with Mike's research capabilities that he'll continue to be involved with us if we move forward. So I think you'll keep hearing from Mike Dorsey.
Definitely. I'll tell you what. Thanks again for coming on the show, Greg.
Can you tell everybody when they can watch your show, man?
Yeah, so it's on tonight in about 10 minutes. it's on USA Network. Yeah, so it's on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, and tonight is episode 2, so we had the pilot episode last Tuesday, and it'll run for 10 weeks. And then once it airs in the U.S. on USA Network, it'll then make its way to Netflix, and it'll be able to get viewed internationally.
Wow. That's great, man. Congratulations on everything, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey,
it's great work, too, man.
Movie.
It really is, man.
Yeah.
It's really great work, man. I love Murder Rap. Not only because it answered a lot of questions for me, but just as an interest. Like, you don't even have to like Tupac and Biggie or hip-hop to enjoy the story of it. It was very well done. Everything that came after it, very well done. So congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think you'll really enjoy Unsolved. They take a very creative approach to it, and you know, it's the information in it is drawn from a whole bunch of sources, not just Murder Rap. So it's an objective look at it all, and we treat Russell Poole very fairly and based on the facts of his, you know, his perspectives on things, and we try to do a really good job of humanizing Biggie and Tupac, and you know, letting people know how tragic this was because they were such good friends, and so we try to tackle some pretty big obstacles, and I hope that we do it all justice.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks a lot, Greg. You take care of yourself, and
thank you.
Again,
you too.
Appreciate you.
Oh, my pleasure. Let's talk again down the road, guys.
Definitely.
Anytime,
you take care, man.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good night.
Kading came through. Dope interview, guys. We're going to close this out. We'll see you guys coming up real soon.